I want to start in Genesis chapter number 3. I want to welcome our visitors today. I know my sister's here with us today, Bobby. Her name's Barbara, but she goes by Bobby. Brother Ralph, you ought to hear her sing. She'd make you a good one in that choir, amen. I guess she was too tired to walk all the way up here this morning. Something like that. Maybe she didn't know if she'd know the songs of it. I just about guarantee she would. Wasn't the music wonderful this morning? You know, I thank God for Sister Becky, and she gets to play the piano and has for years and years. But I do thank God that the Lord sent Sister Laura and Brother Justin along, and Brother Anthony sitting up here. And you might not think like I do, and maybe you're better off than I am. But all I could think about this morning, with talent like that, they could be playing anywhere. And I just thank God they're playing in the house of the Lord. I thank God that what's coming out of them honors Him. I really do. Genesis chapter number 3 this morning, and this is probably an unusual thought, but it's just how the Lord dealt in my heart. And I know for the last several weeks, I've had the privilege to be working on a job, and many have helped me. And I've known what it was to sweat profusely. And I got this thought on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing. I want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, you know the story, how that he deceived Eve and how that he beguiled Eve. And God said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Bob was in the woods with me the other day, my son-in-law, helping me pick up rocks. And I told Bob, I said, now listen, if it smells like a cucumber real strong, I said, there's probably a copperhead laying around close. Bob said, I can't smell a thing. And I said, well, if it rattles like a rattlesnake, you're probably fixing to get it. And I said, I can't hear a thing. So we were just praying while we was picking up them rocks that if it was a copperhead, it would be around me. And if it's a rattlesnake, it'd be around him. Amen. And we did uncover a few little snakes. They were little. But what made me think of that is even though they were little, they were still crawling on their belly just like God said they would. Just like God said they would. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a lot of preaching here that I'm not going to enter into in this text. I want to get to something. And he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Now here's a word, cursed or cursed. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I read this passage this morning in your hearing because it describes the curse that come about as a result of sin. And I want to magnify, if the Lord will help me today, I just pray some way I can get this across, how the curse can become a blessing. The sweat of thy face, that's what God said to man. He said, now, the ground In other words, Adam had been evidently already tilling and already raising some garden and already in the Garden of Eden just taking advantage of the things of God because God wanted him to. But God said, now there's going to be thorns. Now there's going to be thistles. Now there's going to be weeds. Now you're going to have to sweat. No longer is this just going to be an enjoyment, but because of the curse, there's going to be sweat involved with your labor and with your work. And I believe that our Lord Jesus is in the do-over business. What I mean by that is that you and I were conceived in iniquity. You and I were sinners by nature. There come a day when we were sinners by choice. We chose to sin. We knew what we was doing was wrong, but we wanted to do it anyway, and we did it. Amen. But there's a way, and I'll show it to you in the Bible, I believe, that the curse can become a blessing. This curse of the sweat of thy face, the work, I think all this was birthed in my heart, thinking about Labor Day weekend, thinking about the day that we celebrate the workforce in our country. And by the way, the workforce is shrinking. About half the people in our country now think they don't have to work because somebody will take care of them. And the other half's getting the idea, what's the use to work because somebody's going to take it away from me. And we're in a mess in our country. Amen. And I know there's a difference between not being able to work and not being willing to work. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. But I want to talk to you for a little while how this curse, how the curse can become a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning and thank you for loving us. Thank you for our church. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture that explains to us, Lord, why the curse came. Lord, it came through man's disobedience. Lord, we wanted to stop this morning and thank you for the obedience of one. Oh God, and the blessing that come through his obedience. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for our Savior. Lord, he is more than just King of the Jews. He's our shepherd. He's our Lord. He's our soon coming King. God, I pray this morning that you would help us in the message, that we might be able to clearly represent the truths, God, that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you, first of all, this morning, this in the message. The curse becomes a blessing when we labor in a right relationship. When we labor in a right relationship. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn back over to the book of John, please, in chapter number 6. When we labor, when we sweat, when we're laboring in a right relationship, this that was considered a curse upon man will become a blessing. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 26, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And Jesus said in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. When you go into this chapter, over and over again, Jesus is going to tell you that I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And I believe when a man or a woman comes to a place in their life, when they trust Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, no longer should that man or that woman be complaining, amen, about this thing called work, amen, about this thing called a job, about going to work on Monday morning. But I believe God puts a different spirit in us. I believe we begin to think things like this. I thank God I'm able to go to work. I thank God I've got a job that I can go to. And I believe that all is birthed out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, when I got saved, the birds sang sweeter. The sky got bluer. The grass got greener. How many believes that? And we realize that there's more to this thing of this curse that come upon man of sweating and working. There's more to it than just us. Amen. But listen, we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ
that allows us to go out and work and labor, amen, and enter into His vineyard and do His work. And by the way, I'm going to say something right here. That we've been taught a lie, I believe, and that you can separate the secular from the spiritual. That's just not true, amen. You can't separate the two. I believe the child of God is the child of God on Monday, just like he is on Sunday. I believe he's a reflection of the Lord on Monday, just like he is on Sunday. And I believe our attitude changes only when we have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning work. Jesus said, don't labor for that meat that perisheth, but labor for that meat. And he's telling you that my body and my blood, that is that bread, amen, that come down from God. And when you partake of that, things change in this walk of life. Someone said there are three kinds of workers. I actually think there's four, but listen to this example. When a piano is to be moved, the first kind gets behind the piano and pushes. The second kind gets on the other end and pulls and guides. And the third one gets the piano bench. But in America, where we're in trouble is, the fourth one says somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. And I believe when we get saved by the grace of God, and we enter into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not looking to get out of work, we're looking to get into it. And we're looking to do what we can for the glory of God Almighty. The Bible talked about labor not for that meat which perisheth. Jesus said, I was amazed, Brother Arnold, when I looked at the bulletin this morning and knowing what I was going to preach, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm telling you, there's a rest when you're headed to work with Him on Monday morning. Amen. There's a rest. You say, well, preacher, God's not interested in my Monday morning. Yes, He is. I would say to the young ladies and the young men, God's interested in every class that you're taking, every test that you take, every book that you read. My friend, if He's interested in how many hairs is in my head, He's interested in every facet of my life and your life. That includes our work. That includes our labor. When we meet the one who overcame the curse, that curse becomes a blessing. I think about this, and some of us have lived to see this. It's getting fewer and fewer, it seems like. But you can think about the farmers of old, and you can think about miners that would pick up a lunch pail. I remember the old, they were aluminum lunch pails, and the lid opened up on it, and Mama would put Daddy's thermos in the top of it, and then she'd put him a couple sandwiches in the bottom of it. And I can remember Dad going to the steel, working the steel in Baltimore, and I know that people do that in the mining industry. And for years, the farmers, listen, the woman got up way before daylight, because they were going to start working at daylight, and there had to be a breakfast prepared. Amen. And the woman got up way before daylight. And you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? How many believes, my friend, listen, there was a generation that was a whole lot happier, working a whole lot harder than the generation that we live in? And I believe it was because they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And they counted it an honor to do whatever they could do for the glory of God Almighty. Think about that, a right relationship with the Lord. I believe that sometimes they were seemingly a lot happier, a lot less stressed. Somebody help me right there. And somebody said, well, cancer's killing a lot of people, and that's the truth. And I don't know that they can prove it, amen, but I'll tell you this, this generation's under a lot of stress. I mean, it's stress, it's stress, it's stress. But let me tell you about the best stress reliever I've ever found. His name is the Lord Jesus. He can give you a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. He can help you to know, don't worry about tomorrow, because thank God tomorrow we may be around the throne of God. Amen. With Him. Give us that day our daily bread. How the curse can become a blessing. Number one, it becomes a blessing when we labor in a right relationship. Number two, I believe the curse. I mean, it's getting a picture of what I'm trying to get across. Amen. Listen, it can become something like, instead of I have to work till I get to work. Amen. Instead of I have to do this till, thank God, I get to do this. And I'll give you a couple things right here I believe that'll help. The curse becomes a blessing when we labor in the right relationship. Secondly, the curse becomes a blessing when we labor for the right reason. Think about our faith. Think about our family. Think about our friends. And in so doing, think about others. We're laboring for the right reason for others. Listen to what Ephesians 6 and verse 5 said. Paul said, "Servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." Now, that kind of separates the secular from the spiritual, don't it? How many's with me right there? See, Paul's got a word for the child of God at the church at Ephesus about the one you're working for out yonder. Amen? I believe with all of my heart the child of God ought to be the best worker on the job. Say amen right there. I believe that with all my heart. They ought to do their very best. The Bible said, "Oh, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart." Now watch this, as unto Christ. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm not working for Christ. I'm working for the Eastman, or I'm working for BAE, or I'm working for Sears, or I'm working for..." No, 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 no. When the child of God gets saved by the grace of God, our attitude ought to change. No longer are we working for any so-and-so company. We're working for Him. I hope you can see that. Wait just a minute, and I believe maybe that you can. He said, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ," watch this now, "doing the will of God from the heart." Doing the will of God from the heart. "With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." I can remember this. Listen, I'm just not going to go very far right here. But when Mama passed away, we had a lady. I can't remember her name. I know my sister could remember her name. But a lady came to the house with hospice. And you know what I believe with all my heart from everything I've seen out of every one of those people that I've been around? They do a work. And it seems to me like at least the Holy Ghost has always bore witness that it's from the heart. That it's not something they have to do. It's something they want to do. They want to be a blessing to that family. And it turned out that when Dad went home, the same lady, amen, was the one that came. I say to God be the glory. Amen. In other words, it shouldn't matter whether we're in construction or whether we're in the pharmacy or whether we're in, my friend, the plan over here at the Eastman, or whether we're in a store or whether we're at a gas station. We ought to just say, "Hey, I'm working for Jesus. Who are you working for?" And I'm going to do it from the heart. Amen. I'm going to do it from the heart. You say, "Preacher, I don't get that." Well, then your curse will just continue to be a curse. But your curse will turn into a blessing when you get that. When you realize, amen, that listen, we need to work and it needs to be birthed out of a right relationship, but it needs to be done for the right reason. The Bible said here, "With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." You remember the story. When did we visit you in prison? When were you naked? Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." I say we're serving the Lord. And that's what turns the curse into a blessing. That's what keeps us from murmuring like the children of Israel. And my friend, gets us out of a state of complaining and murmuring about the labor and the work and the curse into a state of praise to honor and glory the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. He said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's a whole bunch right there. Do all. A lot of people think, well, you preach to the glory of God, and you can pray to the glory of God, and you can go out and visit to the glory of God. I'm telling you, my friend, when this message gets a hold of you like it has me, you can do whatever you're doing. You can wash dishes to the glory of God. You can do laundry to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, you can go to school to the glory of God. You can pray to the glory of God. You can read the Bible to the glory of God. My friend, you can help somebody to the glory of God Almighty. When it gets a hold of you and you see the curse becomes a blessing when we labor for the right reason. I read this bumper sticker said, "I owe, so off to work I go." for a vast portion of the workforce, that's the best reason they can muster for going to the job each day. According to one poll, only 43% of American office workers are satisfied with their jobs. In Japan, the figure dips to 17%. In the first century, Christian slaves had even less reason to be enthusiastic about their work, but Paul gave them a way to grasp a glimpse of glory amid the grind. He wanted them to adorn the doctrine of God, that is, to show their beauty, the beauty of their faith by how they work. This is often overlooked, often overlooked way that we serve God in our everyday tasks. Martin Luther understood this when he wrote, "The maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does not do his Christian duty by putting little crosses on the shoes that he makes, but he does his duty for the glory of God by making the best shoe that he can to help somebody walk a little farther in this walk of life." Oh, beloved friend, there ought to be more to it than I owe, so off to work I go. Our faith, the Lord and His church, we ought to become, the curse becomes a blessing when we labor for the right reason. The reason of our faith, the reason of our families, the reason of our friends. Our faith, the Lord and His church. Men who have worked around here in years gone by, think about that for just a minute. Listen, around here in the last couple of years, we've done quite a bit of, remodeling and upkeep. But somebody put it together to start with. Say amen. And listen, a building needs maintenance. Amen. Heat pumps need maintenance. Maybe they'll need a little less. Where you at, Brother Michael? If we get them where they can breathe, right? Amen. Hopefully that'll be the case. Amen. We found out one set of our heat pumps, they're not getting near enough air for the capacity. They got to be able to breathe it in before they can put it out. Amen. And it's struggling and straining the compressors. Let me say this to you. I just thought as I prepared to preach, thank God for those that went before us. Thank God for those. Brother Earl, are you listening to me this morning? That rolled their sleeves up after they had done work 8 and 10 hours. Rolled their sleeves up and come in, put a scaffold together and climbed up. Amen, and worked. You say, why? So we could have a house of worship. Amen, so we could have a place to come and worship the Lord. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there was a reason. There was a reason. It wasn't just because they needed something to do. They loved God. They loved the church. They loved their family. And they wanted to do something for God's honor and for God's glory. We're living in a generation, listen to me carefully, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's more people running from the work than there are running to the work. But I tell you what, if this message would get a hold of us, amen, we'd roll up our sleeves and say, what can we do? It's not, my friend, a curse. It's a blessing to be able to do something for God and for God's glory. I thought about this. You say, well, preacher, them people over at the Eastman, they ain't got nothing to do with the work of God. Well, let me ask you something. Where do you reckon them missionary money's coming from? Where do you reckon the tithes and offerings that keep the lights on and get the grass mowed and bought the pews? Where do you reckon it comes from? Amen. I tell you, it doesn't grow on trees. It's because somebody's willing to labor and somebody believes the Bible. If I'll bring that tenth, I'll bring that tithe to the Lord, God will break it. God will bless it. God will use it for His honor. And for His glory. That's why I say you can't separate it. A woman said one time, she said, if you've never been involved in the bus ministry, you don't even know what it is to serve the Lord. I take offense to that. Because my friend, she didn't buy the tires on the bus. She didn't buy the bus. She didn't buy the insurance. She didn't buy the diesel fuel to go on it. I say hallelujah for our van drivers, but we're all in this thing together. It takes all of us working, amen, and have a part in the work of God. It takes all of us working. Amen. You can't divide it up and say, well, we need a pastor, but we don't need a pianist. No, we need a pastor and we need a pianist. Oh, we need a pastor and a pianist, but we don't need deacons. I thank God we're not that way around here. I thank God we have help, amen, to do what needs to be done. We need Sunday school teachers. Thank God, Brother Brian, for our Sunday school teachers. Thank God for everybody that will say, preacher, everybody's not a Sunday school teacher. Everybody's not in the choir. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we'll get a hold of what God's trying to say this morning, it don't matter what you're doing. If you're doing it for the glory of God, God's in it. God will bless it. He'll take the curse and make it a blessing. Amen. A blessing. You say, well, preacher, nobody knows what I do. I say, you probably got the greatest reward coming. Say amen right there. Nobody knows how I get off in the corner and pray. I say, hallelujah, you probably got the greatest reward coming. Amen. Listen to me. I believe with all of my heart. The curse becomes a blessing when we labor for the right reason. Now, I'm not sure that my grandson's got the right motive just yet. He told his mama. He said, mama, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher. And his mama said, is that right, Lucas? How come, honey? He said, that way I just have to work one day a week. He might be just a little mixed up in his motive right now. Amen. He might be just a little bit mixed up about the one day a week. Just a little bit. Amen. Mixed up about the one day a week. But I tell you, God will take the curse, make it a blessing. When we get started off on the right foot, and when the blessing it comes when we labor in a right relationship. It comes when we labor for the right reason. The Bible said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work of labor, your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Bible said, labor not to be rich. That's not the reason we labor. Some people say, well, get all you can all you get. But they don't realize one day they're going to leave the can behind. God doesn't teach that. God doesn't teach, my friend, against being rich. Abraham was rich. He was a very rich man. And it just seemed like the more Abraham gave, the more God piled it on him. That principle's taught in the Word of God. My friend, Abraham didn't have his fist clenched with everything in it. He had his hands open to the glory of God. For many, they just want to get rich. At any expense. But I tell you, the Bible said, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Proverbs 23 and verse number 4. I believe the Bible said, let him that steals, steal no more. Stole, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Now watch this. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Isn't it a blessing to be able to help somebody? To be in a position to help somebody. Is that not a blessing in life? Amen. And the Bible teaches that. That's the right reason. Let me give you this thirdly in closing. The curse becomes a blessing when we labor for the right reason. When we enter into that labor with the Lord in a right relationship. But let me give you this. The curse becomes a blessing when we labor trusting God for the right results. The Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when we labor, we're supposed to be trusting God for the right results. Listen to what the Bible said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, believe that. The devil comes along and says, you're wasting your time. You're spinning your wheels. But God said, your labor. Who are we going to believe? He said, it's not in vain in the Lord. A lot of people say, well, that's in the Lord. That's the Lord's work. I've tried to help you to understand this morning that everything we do is supposed to be the Lord's work. Everything we do, we're supposed to do it to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Verse number 13 of Revelation 14. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Sometimes God's people, they labor and they work and they pray, and they leave this world never having seen their prayers answered. But God never forgets those prayers. Many a youngin has been saved after mom and dad was already in glory. Many a situation has been turned around after the prayer warriors already went home. God's not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. Isaiah 55:11 said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I believe with all my heart we should look at our labor, our work, as unto the Lord and not unto men. And I believe when we do that, I believe God can take. How many's ever worked with somebody that never did anything but just gripe and complain? How many's ever? Not only do they not know that the grass is green, but they act like that's all they've eaten all week is grass. Amen. And briars and thorns, and they're complaining. How many knows how much it displeased God when the children of Israel complained? God gave them manna. God let them wear shoes and let them wear clothes for 40 years that didn't wear out. If y'all will buy me a suit like that, I'll wear it every Sunday. I ain't too proud. Amen. I mean that. That is, if it'll fit. You all get that after a while. Amen. I'm one of them, you have to take it in, let it out. Amen. I don't stay too steady too long. Let me tell you this. God wants us to understand this curse, the sweat, it's because of our sin. We inherited it from Adam. We're going to have to work. But God can take that and make it a blessing in our lives. I think about, just say for example, just go to the hospital with me in your mind for just a moment. I imagine that down at the hospital, there's some people that have entered into profession, Brother Brian, because there's good money in it. There are good retirement benefits. Maybe you get to retire a little early. You don't have to sweat near as much as the guy out there on construction or paving the highway or putting down concrete or something like that. And I imagine in people's minds there's some people that motivates them. And I mean, I'm just being human nature speaking now for just a minute. But I imagine there's other people that want to be a nurse or want to be a doctor or want to be a technician. Because all they can think about is, I just want to do something with my life that helps somebody. Teachers don't make much. Amen. They're not at the top of the pay scale. And I suppose that, especially in this generation, if you're going to be a teacher, they'd have to be a little something down in that heart. I just want to help these youngins. Amen. I just want to be a blessing to them. There was a lady, and I'm only telling you this, not that it, but I'm just telling the story. There was a black lady that helped me. She was a PA, a physician's assistant at Holston Valley. And I've never met a kinder lady. She wasn't about maybe 28 or 29 years old. Never met anybody more professional, very kind. Just, I can't describe to you how that she would take the time to explain the terms. Many of you around here ask Brother Brian questions, and he don't care to take the time to explain them words that are that long. Amen. And they look like Greek or some other language to us. And she was just such a blessing. I couldn't wait for her to come. I couldn't wait for her to come in the room, because we just had something. There was something between us. Amen. And I asked her one day, I can't even remember her name, but I said, I'm asking you something. And I said, because I'm curious. I said, a woman of your caliber and a woman of your ability, I said, you have just helped me so much. I said, how come you don't want to be a doctor? I said, how come you're not a doctor? And she said, well, that's easy for me to answer. She said, I have a family. And she said, I get to come into the hospital 8 hours, 5 days a week. And then I get to go home to my family. And she said, a doctor don't get to do that lots of times. He's gone all hours of the night and his hours are odd. And it's not saying that a doctor can't have a family, because he can. But that was her motive for not going another step, in other words. She liked to help people. She found her a place in life where she could, you know. I just think that changes the curse when we look at it like that. Amen. Find our place. What it is that God wants us to do. Amen. And I can't remember who said it, but somebody said something like this. You'll never have to go to work if you find something that you really enjoy doing in life. I guess was that close to the statement? You won't have to call it work. Amen. If you find something you really, in other words, I believe God has the ability to take that Garden of Eden curse, work, labor, sweat, and turn it in to a blessing when we look at it through the eyes of God. Have something to share with somebody else. Have something, my friend, listen, food on our table, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. They sang about that last Sunday night. And just be content with such things as you have. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I believe we have a right relationship in our labor. The curse turns into a blessing. When we have the right, my friend, not only relationship, what was the second thing? Help me, my mind went blank on me. Not only the right reason to work. And then when we're motivated, believing God and trusting God for the right results. You know, through daddy's home going, mom's home going, I could not be any more proud of the 4 children that God gave me and Miss Eve. And Miss Eve and I, neither one would dare take an ounce of credit. We know. Amen. We know what God has done for our family. And we give Him the glory. And I say this morning, if you're one of those that got the Mully Grubs every Monday morning, I've heard pastors say, good night, I don't know how they do it. I've heard them say, I resign every Monday morning. Oh my. Amen. I can get to a Monday morning, and sometimes it hadn't been a Wednesday night not too long ago. I left here just feeling like, well, that was a flop. And the very next day, a man said to me, preacher, I got a lot out of that last night.
Amen.
You know what happens? Sometimes we don't trust God, do we? We can think that we've failed, but we just don't trust God. That if that's His word and it's going forth, amen, He'll honor it. He'll bless it. If He's looking at our hearts this morning, He knows why we do what we do. And if it's done for the right reason, there'll be a reward one day after a while. Brother Grizzle, I was just thinking, as I prepared to preach, people say the Eastman, you know, something like that, or Holston Valley, or Indian Path, that's just a place to work. Wonder how many people around the world have heard the gospel because of the Eastman. I'm just using that because it's a big name here in town, or used to be called Holston Defense, BAE. People bring their tithes and they bring their offerings, and what is it, Brother Grizzle? 35% of that every month, 35% just right off the top goes to missions. And then we start a little fund on Wednesday night because we want to be able to take on some more missionaries. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say you can let it be a curse if you want to. I'm just going to look at it as a blessing, amen, to be able to do something for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You, dear Lord, for loving us. Thank You for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to labor in your vineyard. Lord, I pray this morning, I don't know of anyone, Lord, that's complaining or murmuring, but I know how you put this in my heart. And I know, Lord, that the days on the job, that sometimes they get tough. The days at home, sometimes they get tough. Sometimes even around the house of God, there's some tough times. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us, that we might understand and know that, yes, Lord, there was a curse put upon the ground, a curse upon the serpent, a curse upon the woman, a curse upon the man. But, Lord, you have a way of taking that that's a curse and bringing a blessing out of it. Lord, I think of the scripture where it was said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Thank you, Lord, that you became a curse for us, that we could experience the blessing of a relationship with you. God, help us, Lord, to labor in that relationship, to be laborers together with God. Help us, Lord, in all that we do, to do that for the glory of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving our church. And thank you, God, for helping our church. God, I pray you'd give us wisdom to lead on. Just help us in the days ahead, Lord, that we might honor you.